Put your hand on the computer.
Kaput Radio.
Doesn't that feel better now? Put your hand on the computer. The computer knows. Put your fingers on the keyboard. Brush your hand across your false goatee. Put your fingers on the keyboard. We. This is the podcast you're listening to. This is the one you chose.
Hi, I'm Martin, and you are listening to Kaput Radio. Hi, the end edition. Yeah, that's it, the end edition. It's quite common to reflect on the year just about to finish, and I won't deviate from this time-honored custom of radio makers worldwide. But contrary to most, I won't present you with any particular order or timelines. It will just fly by your ears to irritate you and prevent you from forming any cohesive thoughts about this show. The only vaguely common thread will be the entertainment value for me, and so I hope for you. Why has there to be an end anyway? But let's just simply slip into the stream of my favorite bizarre evidence of news remnants of this year, starting with the end of courteous relations in Europe between Britain and France. My choice? Nicolas Sarkozy and David Cameron as adversaries in Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Hello! Who is this?
It is King Arthur, and these are my knights of the Round Table. Whose castle is this?
This is the castle of my master, Guido Lombard.
Go and tell your master that we have been charged by God with a sacred quest. If he will give us food and shelter for the night, he can join us in our quest for the Holy Grail.
Well, I'll ask him, but I don't think he'll be very keen. He's already got one, you see?
What?
He says they've already got one.
Are you sure he's got one?
Oh, yes, it's very nice.
I told them we already got one.
Well, can we come up and have a look?
Of course not. You are English types.
Well, what are you then?
I'm French. Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
What are you doing in England?
Mind your own business.
So find me the greatest accent coach in the world.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
You would like to buy a hamburger.
If you will not show us the Grail, we shall take your castle by force.
You don't frighten us, English pig dogs. Go and boil your bottom, sons of a silly person. I'll blow my nose at you, so-called Arthur King. You and all your silly English kniggets.
No. Let's break it down. Would.
What a strange person. Now look here, my good man.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
So you're at odds with government policy over the EEC.
I'm very happy with government policies, Ludwig.
They know the strength of British public opinion. This is a time for healing. A time to stress what we agree about, not what we disagree about. We should be looking for the good in our opponents, not always be looking for the faults. There's good in everyone, you know, Ludo.
Except the French.
Except... even the French.
Is there someone else up there we could talk to?
No, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Now this is your last chance.
I'd be more than reasonable.
Fetchin' a mash.
Quoi? Fetchin' a mash.
If you do not agree to my commands, then I shall...
Right.
George! No!
The English Kniggets and Monsieur Arthur King, who has the brain of a duck, you know. So, we French fellows outwit you a second time.
How dare you profane this place with your prince? I command you, in the name of the Knights of Camelot, to open the doors of this sacred castle to which God himself has guided us.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
It's not Damburger, hamburger.
I'm not saying Dimburger. I said I would like to buy a Damburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy the hamburger.
How you English say, one more time, Max. Unplug my nose in your direction, sons of a window dresser. So you think you could out-clever us French folk with your silly knees bent running about advancing behavior? I'll wave my private parts at your aunties, you... cheesy lot of second-hand electric donkey-bottom biters!
Hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger!
Maybe we should stop.
We don't quit. We do not quit. Again, again!
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger!
I would like to buy a hamburger.
In the name of the Lord, we demand entrance to this sacred castle!
No chance, English bedwetting types. I burst my pimples at you and call your door-opening request a silly thing. You tiny-brained whappers of other people's bottoms.
If you do not open this door, we shall take this castle by force. In the name of God and the glory of our... right! That settles it!
Yes! It's had a lot of this time and can't be approaching anymore, or we fire arrows in the tops of your heads and make castanets out of your testicles already.
Walk away. Just ignore them.
No! Remain down, illegitimate-faced bugger-folk. And if you think you've got a nasty taunting this time, you ain't heard nothing yet, gaffy English niggit.
I would like to buy a burger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
I would like to buy a burger.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
The burger.
The choice was a treaty without proper safeguards or no treaty. No treaty.
And continuing with economics, Europeans.
Yes, well, no disrespect, but I gathered you were all dead.
Dead? No, we have but slept.
Slept?
Yes, through the economic recession, you see.
What?
Well, 5 million years ago, the galactic economy collapsed. And seeing that custom-built planets are something of a luxury commodity, you know we built planets,
oh,
do you?
Well, yes, I'd sort of gathered.
Fascinating trade. Doing the coastlines was always my favourite. Used to have endless fun doing all the little fiddly bits in fjords. Anyway, the recession came, so we decided to sleep through it. We just programmed the computers to revive us when it was all over. They were index-linked to the galactic stock market prices, you see, so that we'd be revived when everybody else had rebuilt the economy enough to be able to afford our rather expensive services again.
Good God, that's a pretty unpleasant way to behave, isn't it?
Is it? I'm sorry, I'm a bit out of touch.
December 2011, and Christmas is coming, but this year there are problems.
Fellow leaders, the citizens of Europe are struggling. Economic conditions are bad.
They are running out of money.
We must join together and guarantee that all the children will get their presents. All those in favor say ja.
Oui.
Say.
Sim.
Da.
Ano.
Tak.
Where did Mr. Cameron go?
Order, order. Yay!
Mr. Speaker, we are exercising our veto. Yay! Have you any idea how much of the British Christmas is European? We intend to protect our own Christmas.
Where's Clegg?
He says he wants to rebuild ties with Europe and he will have plenty of opportunity. I've made him our ambassador to Belarus.
And all over the country, the story is the same. The Sun says these foreign furs give us the needle. Say nine to the not-so-spruce German invader in your living room. 50 lucky readers win their own wood chipper. Top tellyman Clarkson says...
All Christmas trees should be taken out and shot in front of their own saplings.
Well, didn't you read the Financial Times this morning?
Never do.
Well, you're a banker. Surely you read the Financial Times.
Can't understand it. Full of economic theory.
Why'd you buy it?
Oh, you know, it's part of the uniform. Took me 30 years to understand Keynes economics. And then when I just cottoned on, everyone started getting hooked on these new monetarist ideas. You know, I Want to Be Free by Milton Shulman.
Milton Friedman?
Why are they all called Milton? Anyway, I've only got as far as Milton Keynes.
Maynard Keynes.
I'm sure there's a Milton Keynes.
Merry Christmas. Cupboard's empty. Left it far too late. I've been so thoughtless. Got to go out, face the high street. But I'm not exactly Mary Portis. Shopping centres, mid-December. I stay away from them at any price. A million people in a frenzy. At least the riots, the weather was nice. Shopping, Christmas shopping, it's a nightmare. I wanna hide in bed, like a scene from a zombie film. Market Day of the Dead. I dread Christmas shopping. Festive music on a loop is all that I can hear. If Naughty Holder shouts it's Christmas one more time, I fear I'm gonna rip off my own ears. So I'll be waiting in Waitrose, wound up in Waterstones, cross in Moss Bros, in a queue in Phones For You, jammed in Matalan, tense in Tesco, miserable in M&S, fit to drop in Body Shop. Every checkout I'll be looking around for who in the queue's gonna slow me down. Frustrated and frantic and just getting scarier. Unexpected item in the bagging area. Please kill me now.
I am a good European. I believe in the European ideal. Never again shall we repeat the bloodshed of the two world wars. Europe is here to stay. But this does not mean that we have to bow the knee to every directive from every little bureaucratic Bonaparte in Brussels. We are a sovereign nation still. We are British and proud of it. We have made enough concessions to the European Commissar for Agriculture. And when I say Commissar, I use the word advisedly. We've swallowed the wine lake, we've swallowed the buttermouth, we've watched our French friends beating up British lorry drivers carrying good British lamb to the French public. We have bowed and scraped and doffed our caps, tugged our forelocks and turned the other cheek, but I say enough is enough. The Europeans have gone too far. They are now threatening the British sausage. They want to standardize it. By which they mean they'll force the British people to eat salami and bratwurst and other garlic-ridden, greasy foods that are alien to the British way of life. Do you want to eat salami for breakfast with your egg and bacon? I don't. And I won't. They've turned our pints into litres and our yards into metres. We gave up the tanner, the threepenny bit, the two-bob piece and the half-crown, but they cannot and will not destroy the British sausage. Not while I'm here.
Yeah, boy.
See, I write my own rhymes, produce my own shit. Yeah, boy, I ain't the one to fuck with. No.
Thank you.
word to stash cash wrapped up in plastic bags. This shit hits like a flashback from acid tabs. I make noise like boys doing smash and grabs. You snatch, scratch from taxi cabs and dash. Smash racks to fill backpacks. Rats get fed rat sack for sack, really just acts. Extracting hidden facts actually gets kittens and cats bitten back. In his house, the mouse's place is in the trap. So what's written on my rap sheet? Premeditated, aggravated assault on a fat beat. I don't own a firearm, but I pack heat. Blazing buds roll in a spliff on the back seat. In a back street where the jacks see nothing. Cause if jacks...
Have we done bad enough to the environment this year?
So long and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. So long, so long, and thanks for all the fish.
The world's about to be destroyed. There's no point getting all annoyed.
Lie back and let the planet dissolve around you. Despite those nets of tuna fleets, we thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tops and your pregnant women. So long, so long, so long.
There are more timeless examples of recognizing the problems early.
It's an important and popular fact that things are not always what they seem. For instance, on the planet Earth, man had always assumed that he was the most intelligent species occupying the planet, instead of the third most intelligent. The second most intelligent creatures were, of course, dolphins, who, curiously enough, had long known of the impending destruction of the planet Earth. They had made many attempts to alert mankind to the danger, but most of their communications were misinterpreted as amusing attempts to punch footballs or whistle for tidbits. So they eventually decided they would leave Earth by their own means. The last ever dolphin message was misinterpreted as a surprisingly sophisticated attempt to do a double backward somersault through a hoop while whistling the Star Spangled Banner. But in fact, the message was this: so long, and thanks for all the fish.
And then the newly discovered planet Kepler 22b. Even that has been long foreseen.
Welcome to our factory floor.
The light.
This is where we make most of our planets, you see.
Does this mean you're starting it all up again now?
No, no, for heaven's sake. The galaxy isn't nearly rich enough to support us yet. No, we've been awakened to perform just one extraordinary commission. It may interest you. There, in the distance in front of us.
Oh, no.
You see?
The Earth?
Well, the Earth Mark II, in fact. It seems that the first one was demolished 5 minutes too early and the most vital experiment was destroyed. There's been a terrible hoo-ha, and so we're going to make a copy from our original blueprints.
Are you saying that you originally made the Earth?
Oh, yes. Did you ever go to a place... I think it's called Norway.
What? No. No, I didn't.
Pity, that was one of mine. Won an award, you know. Lovely, crinkly edges.
I can't take this. Did I hear you say the Earth was destroyed 5 minutes too early?
Shocking cock-up. The mice were furious.
Mice?
Yes, the whole thing was their experiment, you see. A 10-million-year research program to find the ultimate question. Big job, you know.
Look, would it save you all this bother if I just gave up and went mad now?
Earthman, you must realize that the planet you lived on was commissioned, paid for, and run by mice.
Then we saw a renewal of belligerence between nations, political chess-beating, and discreetly signing new arms contracts. It's an arms race with North Korea entering the playground once more. But from a wider viewpoint, one can still get a chuckle out of timeless samples.
It is, of course, well known that careless talk costs lives, but the full scale of the problem is not always appreciated. For instance, at the very moment that Arthur Dent said, "I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle," a freak wormhole opened up in the fabric of the space-time continuum and carried his words far, far back in time across almost infinite reaches of space to a distant galaxy where strange and warlike beings were poised on the brink of frightful interstellar battle.
The two opposing leaders were meeting for the last time, and a dreadful silence fell across the conference table as the commander of the Vlahergs, resplendent in his black jeweled battle shorts, gazed levelly at the Gogogvant leader squatting opposite him in a cloud of green, sweet-smelling steam. And with a million sleek and horribly beweaponed star cruisers poised to unleash electric death at his single word of command, challenged the vile creature to take back what it had said about his mother. The creature stirred in his sickly broiling vapor, and at that very moment, the words,
"I seem to be having this tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle,"
drifted across the conference table. Unfortunately, in the Vlaherg tongue, this was the most dreadful insult imaginable, and there was nothing for it but to wage terrible war. Eventually, of course, it was realized that the whole thing had been a ghastly mistake, and so the two opposing battle fleets settled their few remaining differences in order to launch a joint attack on our galaxy, now positively identified as the source of the offending remark. For thousands more years, the mighty ships tore across the empty wastes of space and finally dived screaming onto the planet Earth, where, due to a terrible miscalculation of scale, the entire battle fleet was accidentally swallowed by a small dog.
Prime Minister, you do believe in the nuclear deterrent?
Oh, yes.
Why?
I beg your pardon?
Why?
Because it deters. I beg your pardon?
Whom? Whom does it deter?
The Russians from attacking us.
Why?
A big one. Because they know that if they were to launch an attack, I'd press the button.
You would?
Well, wouldn't I?
Well, would you?
Last resort, yes. I certainly would. Well, I think I certainly would, yes.
And what is the last resort?
If the Russians were to invade Western Europe.
But you only have 12 hours to decide, so the last resort is also the first response. Is that what you are saying?
Am I?
You don't need to worry. Why should the Russians annex the whole of Europe? They can't even control Afghanistan. No, if they try anything, it will be salami tactics.
Salami tactics?
Slice by slice. One small piece at a time. So will you press the button if they invade West Berlin?
It all depends.
On what? Well, scenario one. Riots in West Berlin. Buildings in flames. East German fire brigade crosses the border to help. Would you press the button? The East German police come with them. The button? Then some troops, more troops, just for riot control, they say. And then the East German troops are replaced by Russian troops. Button? Then the Russian troops don't go. They are invited to stay to support civilian administration. The civilian administration closes roads and Tempelhof Airport. Now you press the button?
I need time to think about this.
You have 12 hours.
Have I? You're inventing this.
You are Prime Minister today. The phone might ring now from NATO headquarters.
Hello, yes. NATO headquarters.
Scenario two. Russian army maneuvers take them accidentally on purpose across the West German frontier. Is that the last resort?
No.
Right, scenario three. Suppose the Russians have invaded and occupied West Germany, Belgium, Holland, France. Suppose their tanks and troops have reached the English Channel. Suppose they are poised for an invasion. Is that the last resort?
No.
Why not?
Well, we'd only fight a nuclear war to defend ourselves. How could we defend ourselves by committing suicide?
So what is the last resort, Piccadilly? Botford Gap Service Station? The Reform Club?
The nuclear deterrent makes no sense.
Yes, it does. If either the Russians or the Americans have the bomb, then the other side must have it too.
The history of every major galactic civilization has passed through three distinct and recognizable phases. Those of survival, inquiry, and sophistication, otherwise known as the how, why, and where phases. For instance, the first phase is characterized by the question, how can we eat? The second by the question, why do we eat? And the third by the question, where should we have lunch? The history of warfare is similarly subdivided, though here the phases are retribution, anticipation, and diplomacy. Thus, retribution. I am going to kill you because you killed my brother. Anticipation. I'm going to kill you because I killed your brother. And diplomacy. I'm going to kill my brother and then kill you on the pretext that your brother did it.
In the meantime, the world wants to deal with dangerous individuals.
Well, and the future.
Well, has the world ended? I'm in the bunker. I've got my supplies, some rudimentary communication. But the world may have stopped turning. Up there. There's no way of knowing. You see, we've always been a little bit in love with the idea of trying to know what the future holds. About whether things are laid out for us, whether there's a path for us, a destiny. Here, listen to this. Perverse mankind, whose wills, created free, charge all their woes on absolute decree. And so to the dooming gods their guilt translate, and follies are miscalled the crimes of fate. Wise words there from Peter Andre. But sometimes being a predictor of the future can have terrible consequences. Now the Mayans have this reputation as being great predictors of the future, and they were. They were able to predict things many, many centuries beyond their civilization. The trouble was, at great cost to their civilization at the time. They were very disorganized, they didn't have a wheel, they hadn't invented the arch, the plow, they hadn't domesticated animals. They were pretty useless, really. Their contemporaries, the Hopi Indians, not known for their technical brilliance or intellectual superbness, but even the Hopis had a far superior standard of living. They would mock the Mayans. In fact, the Hopis developed a very refined form of sarcasm as a direct response to the uselessness of the Mayans. And when the Mayans would come to the Hopi village, the Hopis would sort of roll their eyes and go, "Oh, look out, here they come, the Mayans, cuckoo!" And the Mayans would say something like, "Hello, Hopi Indians," and the Hopis would go, "Hello," and then they point to a cow that the Mayans had never seen. They go, "Oh, look at that," and the Mayans would go, "Wow, what's that?" And then the Hopis would say, "That is a portal to another dimension." And the Mayans would go, "Wow," and they'd all run at the cow, trying to get to the dimension, then knock it over. And the Hopi would laugh. And the Mayans would say to the Hopi in seriousness, they would say, "We have developed the long count." And the Hopis would go, "Oh, here we go." And they say, "Yes, we count not in days, not in years, not in decades, not in centuries, but in the Baktun." Now the Baktun was 144,000 days. And the Hopis would snigger like, and one of them, deadpan, sarcastic, would go, "Oh, that's brilliant. Well, that's really handy, isn't it? 144,000 days, what a really useful unit of time that is. What genius came up with that one?" And the Mayans, oblivious to sarcasm, one of them would push the geeky one would come forward and go, "It's me, actually." It was good, isn't it? And the Hopis would just roll their eyes, "Yeah, brilliant." And say, "Oh, look, a portal to another dimension." And they'd all run at a pig.
"And I think maybe, but I don't know. But I'm starting to feel like I got a brain problem situation on my hands."
And for me, 2012 will be another year with my community radio, nimfm.org. But I will quit the libsyn.com crowd. All my future podcasts will be available under the name of Kaput X Radio at radio4all.net. There's also a functional contact box available for comment or feedback. Isn't that great? I thank all my radio friends out there with their own respective shows, my listeners, and NimFM.org for their valuable input. The samples heard today were all from YouTube and other resources. You'll find them all listed on the webpage at kaputradio.libsyn.com as well as radio4all.net. My name is Martin, and I'll send you best wishes. Catch you again next year.